Okay, welcome back to another episode here on Chapo's Corner. I'm your host, Farah Chapo. Today's episode is entitled, Social Media is Ruining Our Lives. It's a topic that I've always thought about and I've always had my opinions on, and I've had discussions with a few people who I have what I call this woke or conscious about the things that's just going on. But I happened to stumble across a post today on social media that was referring to a recent interview that was done by, I think, News 4. I'm going to give you the information for the guy in a little while. And he is someone who, if I'm understanding correctly, is one of the main people who were involved in either creating the internet in the beginning stages or the platform that later began to boom out and take off as what we know today as social media, and the ones that are now regretting what they did and what they've laid out for the elite, if you will, you know, and how it was manipulated, because the studies are coming back showing that it's literally not only ruining people's lives, it's causing mental illness such as depression, but at the same time people are behaviors are being modified by things like algorithms, and you know how everything you're doing is pretty much being monitored, and you know, no one is pretty much who they are or who they say they are anymore. So I felt like that was a really good topic, because it's one that I feel like I take personally. Now, me myself personally, I do not have any personal social media accounts. I do have a Facebook account that I reactivate and deactivate on and off when needed. What do I mean by that? I mean that I need to get in touch with somebody who I have absolutely no way to get in contact with as far as having their telephone number. I know that there's still very much a social media freak somewhere, especially like on Facebook, and that would be like the number one place to get in touch with them really quickly, only for the purposes of, again, getting their number, and then I'll get off, deactivate, or whatever. A lot of times when I do this, there's no picture or anything like that. I don't put up anything personal. I have mentioned before, I think on this podcast, I don't know what episode it was in, but it did come up in relation to a point I was making, that the only social media accounts that I do have is related to this podcast, which is my Instagram, Farah Chapo, Twittergram, Farah Chapo. Not personal accounts at all, straight promotional purposes. And another one that I have for small business. And other ones I'll be creating in the future for other projects, though, that I'm doing. Not necessarily anything that's up there promoting me or, you know, letting Big Brother, the all-seeing eye or whatever, and others just glare and glance at me. So I found this article on Psychology Today by Dr. Emma M. Cepala, Cepala, and it's called 3 Ways Social Media Ruins Everything. Okay, and I just want to, read it out. So social media has completely transformed a range of our life experiences. Consider travel. It's not like just dodging selfie sticks, making navigation attractions harder, but because tourists no longer even gaze at the monuments, piazzas, or works of art, instead they turn their backs to them and even look at themselves on a screen. Okay, so the experience of art and history has been replaced with the experience of additional representation of those things. We spend more time thinking about how other people will perceive our adventures than actually having those adventures. These days, the urge to check social media is stronger than the urge for sex, although both are driven by a need to connect. After food and shelter, our need to belong and feel positively connected to others is arguably the number one predictor of our well-being, happiness, health, and even longevity. Trying to connect in the virtual sphere, though, is actually counterproductive. Here are three virtual connections. Here are 3 ways virtual connection is ruining your life and your real life relationships. Okay, you've lost the moment. All right, so it says here, what do you do on social media? You share moments. Moments of joy, friendship, humor, beauty. Ironically, by engaging with social media, you lose the moment. In your quest to connect virtually, you disconnect from your reality and the people in it. Now, that's a very true fact. I mean, how often are we with people and are they doing, you know, not a lot of people have like phone etiquette, period, when you're talking to them, but let alone when you're with them, to put the phone down for a little bit. You can go out and have a dinner with someone and they're texting other people. It's like five people. It could be 20 people literally with the other table. It's just you and the other person, but because their phones are going off every 5 minutes, and they're constantly posting, maybe they're even posting the meal that you guys are just eating, or, you know, but the point is now they lost the moment because they're too busy trying to get other people to engage in that moment virtually, disconnecting them from the reality that they're in with you at the dinner table. Okay, so it says that they lose their spirits of happiness in the process of trying to refine your smile for public consumption. Okay, it's addictive and self-absorbing, which is true. Again, everywhere I look today, like, everybody has their head down. It's one thing if you have your headphones in and you're listening to music. And it's another thing when you just get on, like, you just get out and you're just standing online somewhere. And the first thing that people do as soon as they're bored, they get a moment to themselves or they're not driving or is just look straight to that phone. And with the number of apps and games and, you know, Skypes and all these different things that you have on your phone, your Snapchats and everything. And of course, with stories now, everybody, everywhere they go, they're making a story. So you're making a story while you're at the Starbucks line. You're making a story while you're at the beach. You're making a story where, you know, because you just spilled your lunch, you know, on your break and whatever. You make a story about everything. So you're constantly busting out your devices. And if your devices interfere with your conversations, you obviously are undermining your own ability to connect with others. You miss the flicker of emotion in your child's eye. You know, the look of exasperation on your partner's face. So you can't even really notice that at the dinner table while you're with your friend. Your friend is looking all annoyed, or, you know, you hear them talking and trying to have the conversation with them while you're looking down at the screen. But at the same time, you just miss that they just rolled their eyes at you like for the 15th time. Annoyed with the fact that you're here, but you're not here. Okay, so, you know, because someone's trying to share something meaningful with you and they can't. So in theory, social media is designed to connect us, but in reality, it acts as a barrier. Okay, they say it's fairly simple. Our impulse to broadcast our lives makes us miss out on them. So on your next vacation, leave your selfie stick at home, take your social media apps off your phone, and lose yourself in the experience. They might actually do something worth writing home about, you know? Then you might actually do something worth writing home about. And I agree with that. And there was another one that I had found. Because this is, it's like really getting out of here. Not only that, it's like, even with the kids today, the teenagers, they had a lot of studies coming out where the kids are coming out and being more depressed. These teenagers are coming out of high school looking like Kim Kardashian and everything. I mean, like, literally red carpet ready for the prom. And I'm thinking back to, like, my high school days, which really was not that far behind these kids, and it's amazing just how much and just how much older they're looking. They're looking much older than me, and I'm a 33-year-old woman. So you know that between YouTube and these DIYs, hair tutorials, makeup tutorials, and of course the hauls, all those fashion hauls, they're definitely being, you know, they're little sponges. They're just absorbing it all up, and they're becoming very materialistic and very shallow type of individual. I don't know what's going to happen with the next year. I'm really scared to see, because they're getting lost in the source. Social media is ruining everything, HuffPost. Well, let me see. Maybe I can find someone that's a little bit. Okay, here's one. Somebody says, I'm addicted to social media and it's ruining my life. Let's take a look at what they're talking about. I refuse to be controlled by social media. I mean, I know what it can do, and I know what it's designed to do. I'm too woke to have a personal page. One of the women that I admire and I look up to now as a feminist, but just like as it doesn't matter her work and her talent, is Miss Tina F. and Faye. I love Tina Fey from SNL, 30 Rock. You already know, the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt producer, co-producer. And she's got a whole bunch of other things coming out. And long story short, one of the most interesting and fascinating things that I found about her, just love and respect for more, is that she does not have a social media page. As a matter of fact, I'm going to see if I can pull up the quote, but she went on by saying something like, you know, she doesn't have a social media account for reasons like she believes if you really want to know how much you're ever hated, despised, or disliked, you know, just go on the internet, just go on social media. There's too many people that are just hiding behind screens that just have nothing but negativity to spill. But she knows the power of it, and she knows that that can do things to you and what it can do. Actually, there's a lot of celebrities, if you Google it right now and you look it up, there's a lot of celebrities that don't even allow their children to watch TV. And they themselves are on TV and have been TV and influencing us and modifying our lives and are modifying our behaviors. Some of them for decades, but they won't allow their children to watch. Madonna's daughter don't watch TV. There's a lot of them that don't. So if you think about your own experience with social media, you know, what are you doing? Do you know how many people are sitting on social media and they're just going going around looking up what their ex is doing, or if they find out, you know, because they seen somebody comment, their new girlfriend comment under the picture, now they're tagging or clicking the link to see her profile. Now they're, you know, damn near hawking and creep watching the new girl. I mean, social media can really just, like, it's just really getting out of hand. Nowadays, you're just going on there to just check what's going on your page. As soon as you get on there, you can see what everybody's doing every single place. You know that this one liked this picture. You know this one commented on this picture. You know this one just started following this one. You know this one's. Why do I need to know all that? And yeah, you can adjust your settings and things like that, but there's still certain things that you just, it's not every single thing that you're able to block. Okay. Let's see. All right. And I love Tina Fey. I really do. So I just found this article. It says Titus Burgess. Hey, Titus. That's my other boo. Titus Burgess explains why Tina Fey is not on social media. All right. Tina Fey's wit would surely make Twitter a better place, but she refuses to join social media. And her Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt collaborator knows why. Titus Burgess, who plays Titus Andromedon in the Netflix comedy, hey, says he once asked his boss why she's not on Twitter. Her reply, why would I give away my jokes for free? Burgess also shared the backstory about the lip sync video that went viral last month in which Faye and Jane Kakowski, another star of Kimmy, mouthed the words to Beyonce's Flawless on a private jet. He says the two women got dolled up when he suggested posting a video of their sing-along, which was ease for Faye because she knows the words to everything. Watch Burgess tell the story to Seth Meyers on Late Night. Okay, which we're not going to do. But so that was one where she answered in a comical way. But I am going to find the one where And her very good friend Amy Poehler, they do not use social media, and I respect them. They're smart. People look at me like I'm freaking weird, but like when I hear people on top that's doing it, that's actively not doing it. Yeah, they have. She has. There's a page for the show. I'm sure she doesn't even run it or pay attention to it. But it was Poehler. Poehler said, I try not to read too much online because I always get my feelings hurt, even if someone's flattering you, you know. And they're not interested, and I don't blame them. I'm not interested either. It has nothing to do with how much money they make. Yeah, they could promote more of themselves, but at the same time, if the show, everything she touches turned to gold. If you don't already know what Tina Fey do, she's excellent, you know. But they do have a lot of sense, these women right here. Okay, and we're gonna take a break, and I'm gonna come back after the break and come back with some more reasons why social media is ruining our lives. Things that we could do, I mean, to just kind of, even if you still want to stay on social media, but maybe you can kind of like, you want to fall back a little bit and try to enjoy your life with some, which is healthy. We're gonna discuss that when I come back. All right, be right back. All right, y'all, we're back. And I found the original post that I was looking at that made me inspired to talk about it. It was always something I thought about. I've always felt strongly about social media. It's one of the main reasons my friends don't understand me, because I don't do a lot of things that, I guess you could say the masses or the sheep are doing. But it starts off, it says, delete your social media accounts, warns the founding father of virtual reality. So this interview was conducted, I think, either 4 to 6 days ago. If you want to go on YouTube, because I did pull up the interview on YouTube, and look it up yourself. Let me see if I get that information for you. Go through my history. I can get you that, too. And there's a 20-minute video section about it and something else. But for the most part, it says, in a new explosive interview, Silicon Valley tech pioneer and creator of virtual reality avatar, Jaron Lanier, tells people to delete your social media accounts due to the strong correlation between persistent social media usage and a dramatic societal rise in depression, anger, and anxiety that he says is a result of internet-induced modified forms of behavior. The warning comes in wake of his new book, which details how the creators of social media and early engineers behind the internet foolishly laid the foundation for global monopolies. Jaron Lanier is best known as the founding father of the field of virtual reality, and throughout his polymath career has written extensively on human-computer interaction, including the most recently in his book, 10 Arguments for Deleting Your Social Media Accounts Right Now. Lanier explained in a recent UK Channel 4 interview, when you watch the television isn't watching you. Yeah, in my opinion, it is. When you see the billboard isn't seeing you. When you use these new designs, social media, search, YouTube, when you see these things, you're being observed constantly, and algorithms are taking the information and changing what you see next. In other words, you're being influenced without even knowing it. So things you think you're doing and things you think you're buying and seeing on your own and you're clicking on your own, you're not really doing that. You're actually being influenced to do that. According to Lanier's bio, he coined the term virtual reality, VR, in the early 1980s. And we know that because I remember using the term virtual reality in the 90s at some point. I remember using the term virtual reality somewhere in the Power Rangers, okay? Founded VPL Research, and the first company to send virtual reality products. In the late 1980s, he led the team that developed the first implementations of multi-developed person virtual world using head-mounted displays. So at the end of the day, this guy has a very, very extensive background. And again, he's a pioneer who led the way. But now that it's a few decades past the beginning and Pandora's box has been opened, they're realizing now just how bad it is. I found articles where the stakeholders and shareholders of Apple, you know, have urged and begged people. I could bring it up, and people who work for them in software design and everything have urged and wrote to them up top, telling them that they need to seriously look into the way that the new designs of these phones, all the ways that everybody's getting distracted by social media, the phones are staring at it. It's like the devil. I don't know how else to call it. I say social media is the devil. How it's deteriorating relationships, family values, and all these other kind of things. Morals are declining. Basically, humanity as a whole is just going downhill, and how they need to stop or demanding that nobody cares because you're making money off of these things. They don't give a damn if they're ruining your lives or making or dumbing you down, because that's why they call it the smartphone too. I dare you to tell me 10 out of all the contacts in your phone, do you have all the memorized in your head? If your phone was taken away from you in an emergency and you had a payphone, you were able to borrow somebody's phone, would you be able to? I mean, honestly, unless it's your house number. Some people don't even know their cell phone numbers. You have to write it down and say, oh my God, I don't even know my number. What's my number? You know, we don't even know. The phone is dumbing you down. The phone knows every damn thing. You don't know a thing, okay? And that's something to think about as well. So, again, I came across this post, and then I went and took the time to you look at the YouTube video because I want to see the interview for myself. And, I was just very fascinated and, again, inspired to do this. It's kind of short. It's so broad. You could really go into this, like, really more in depth, especially the behavior modification parts of it. But I think I may touch on that another day. So it finishes off in the post by saying, as he defiantly asserts on his personal website, Lanier himself has no social media accounts at all. Okay, Lanier, this is what I'm trying to tell you. And I'm going to sit there and maybe take a break and try to pull up some celebrities that don't allow their kids to watch TV or have certain things like that. A lot of these social media accounts by celebrities aren't even like, the celebrities, a lot of them are not hands-on posting themselves. They have like a team of, PR people who just sit there and just, you know, pretty much promote while they do other things, okay? So they're not really all in control of it, but they don't let their kids watch TV or do a lot of things that a lot of us normally do and let our children do. You'd be surprised. But he says that he has no social media account at all, which I respect anybody that does that, and also makes me feel better. And this is the guy who created it. Okay, so he has no social media accounts at all and has purported that there are a lot of them that are fake. He's elsewhere said that most internet and social media pioneers in Silicon Valley have regrets now after perfecting what is essentially mass human behavioral engineering, and that the internet addiction is not only ruining people's lives, but the political process as well. This is what I would call almost a stealthy addiction, he said. It is a statistical addiction, you know, and that's just something to think about, because it's just absolutely true. You just cannot deny it. The phones are just getting like retarded. People don't even read anymore. And then if they want to read now, it gotta be on the screen. But I'm trying to tell you, a lot of people are selling back their books. And it all goes back to those theories that I used to see in shows and movies back in the day. There's always, even Family Guy had an episode where they went back in time where they had a dream or something where they burnt all the books and they were standing on the side of the library. I think it was Stewie and Brian and all the books were burning. But there's always this thing about all the books being burnt one day. And what are we gonna have? These nooks? I ain't selling back not one book. I got books that I stole out of my public library when I was a child. That's how much I love books. And my high school library. And I have books from college that I bought that I never sold back. I still got all my textbooks. I still have all my notebooks. And I still buy books to this day. You know, and try to keep them in the best condition as possible. And I've tried to do the Nook thing and stuff, but guess what? They break. And yes, you can get new ones and re-download them and stuff, but to me, there's nothing like the good old traditional book to me. Being able to fold the book back and write in the creases or highlight or and do what you want to fold the pages in a good old-fashioned bookmark. I'm a little more old school. I love me a book. You know, give it to me hardcover, give it to me softcover, just give me a book. And I could do the thing on the screen, but you know, I can't. And there were times when the e-books started coming, I used to print them out in chapters. When you get the free ebooks on the screen, and then I'm like, okay, I want to read the book, but this screen thing doesn't work for me. I'm very old school and very traditional. So what the phone is starting to do is trying to make everything be so much like more of on the screen. You just don't do anything anymore that's just kind of like personalized. Nobody really has any more of an identity either, and everybody's mimicking everything else that they see. It's kind of like monkey see, monkey do, and that's the reality in the world that we're living in today. So, this was just, like, something really, really light about how social media is ruining our lives. Last episode was a little choppy. It's okay, though. As long as I got the point across, why it's good to put the phones down. So, don't let social media take over your life, though. And don't let it fool you into thinking, like, somebody's life is better than yours. Don't let it get you depressed and down, too, because everything is all, most of it is filtered and manufactured. And it's just, that's pretty much what the world does when we're looking at TV and we see things in ads and commercials that are marketing and promoting things, and we go out and buy it and we're influenced by that. It's the same thing. It's only just done by everyday people. Filtered, curated lives to make things look perfect, you know, and sell it like that. And it is sold like that and bought like that, you know. But if only you knew... Or the video that I watched today was just like, most people just post their best pictures. You know, people take like, even in a photo shoot, you can go take a photo shoot. And then in a magazine, it could be a 4-page spread of photos. And the 4 best photos that they picked from the shoot, they had to take like 200. Every shot didn't come out. You know how many times they got to twirl and twirl and twirl? You think every shot comes out good? Sometimes they twirl around and the damn dress flapped up in their face. You can't even get their face shot. And it'd be 4 of them. Or, you know, we all see American Next Top Model. They do all the shoots and they took a lot of shots. But they always say, this one was your best one out of like 300, you know, or something like that. So just remember that too when you're seeing people do things. You know, they worked to find the best filters, the best angles, They probably had like 20 of them in the phone, or they probably kept looking at them until their friends take it over 150 different times with different lightings and different backgrounds, different filters. You know, now you got this person's looking like a movie star and selling themselves like they're doing it like that when they're really not. So it says 7 ways to stop your social media addiction, because I got to leave something, and we're going to leave it off of that. All right. Yeah, I like this. Already the first line got me. This is Bustle.com. Okay. And Phoebe Waller, Waller. Growing up, we millennials didn't even know what social media was, let alone how it might play such a big part in our adult lives. If you are becoming addicted to social media, don't worry. There are steps you can take to beat your social media addiction. Depending on when you were born, your first encounter with social media could have been a MySpace page, yeah, my generation, or perhaps joining up to Facebook, which was next in my generation, with your educational institute. Dang, that's how I know she lives in my age, because when Facebook started out, you couldn't even sign up with no regular email address like you're doing now. You had to be going to a school or a university. 9 out of 10, it was a university or a college. So when you were signing up, your email address said something like Monta, something like at stjohns.edu. So it's usually it was your first and your last name, your first name dot your last name at whatever school you was going to dot edu. And then eventually, from what I can remember, it progressed to high schools who had given certain kids email addresses, and now eventually anybody can just sign up. So yeah, like she said, perhaps joining up to Facebook with your educational institute. Of course, there was also AMSN Messenger and AOL Instant Messenger. Aww, they're taking me back. Which we use. Oh, you know, they really just deaded AIM. Last year, I opened up my AOL AIM. Ugh, so off topic. Not really, though. My AOL to check my mail, and then I noticed that AIM was in the bottom. And then I tried to just see if it still worked. You could still text people in AIM and chat, I guess, with some people, but obviously by this time nobody that I knew was on AIM. I just probably sent like a few text messages to see if it worked, and it did. And then lo and behold, like a month or two after, recently AOL just completely deaded AIM, so there is no more AIM, which is AOL Instant Messenger. So yeah, with AIM we used to keep in contact with each other and stay up to date with all the events and dramas of school until we got home. There were no smartphones or apps, and iPods were used for their original purpose, listening to music on the go. The best thing you could expect from your mobile was the ability to play Snake. In the past decade, social media has crept from our computer screens onto our screens of our handheld devices. With the flick of a finger, we can upload photos directly from our phones onto our social media accounts, reply instantly to our messages, or see what our families and friends have been up to. With our mobiles always within arm's reach, it can be super easy to become a little too enamored with social media, and it can negatively affect our relationships with others. So here are some tips on how to gain control of your social media addiction. Turn off your notifications. Now that I agree with, especially with, like I said, having the platforms that I have used for promotional purposes for other projects and, you know, things of that nature. Sometimes I get a lot of notifications coming in, and the sound alone or the vibrating of the phone alone over the years have driven me crazy. So I'm the type of person, like, I already do that and I turn it off. Now the problem with that is when people sending me text messages now sometimes and stuff, like I get really delayed in answering, but at the same time it also shows that I'm not also just sitting by my phone. So I'm also the type of person, I have to put the phone down. I had to retrain myself to put the phone down. So there's a lot of times I'm delayed in answering people because of the fact that I turned on, I just don't want to hear it. And then there's too much notifications that go on off all over. So I got the mail over here, I got the mail over here, I got the other mail over here, you know how many mail accounts I got? Then I got this over here. It's too much notification. So sometimes, you know, turning the notifications off, I can say it really does help me to not look at the phone as much. It's just that when I do happen to take the time every few hours, you know what, a couple hours or so to check my phone, I might see that somebody texted me 30, 40 minutes ago. I feel kind of bad. I'm like, oh gosh, you know, but at the same time, I don't want to be a slave to that phone. I don't work for the phone. The phone works for me. The phone is my tool. I'm not the phone's tool. And that's how everybody else should look at it. So they say when you stop notifications from disrupting your normal routine, that's what I'm saying, you might find it easier to concentrate on your daily tasks and not get distracted so easily. Notifications are a constant reminder that something is happening in the online world and you might feel you are missing out. So tell your FOMO, turn off your notifications. The bonus is, When you do come around to checking your social media, you may have built up more notifications, will make it more exciting, and it'll be make the experience more rewarding. Agreed. That's why I said when I come back, I always have like things like just built up. I could kind of scroll through real quick, but some things I miss. And then, of course, the delayed text messaging responses. Even my mom, she has to wait a lot of times. Limit yourself. Set a timer on your watch or phone to limit the amount of time you spend on social media. Choose a limit depending on the severity of your addiction. Say an hour a day, which equates to 7 hours per week. And whenever you check your account, start your timer going. When you reach your limit, be strong and don't be tempted to add on an extra time. This will be a strong test of your willpower. That's all it really takes, though, like mind over matter, okay? But it will be worth it in the end. Get a new hobby, it says. You may have a lot more free time on your hands now that you're trying to cut down on your social media usage, so why not pick up a new hobby to fill up your spare time? You can learn a new skill or do something you've always wanted to do, but never had the time to do. You'll probably surprise yourself at how much free time you have when you stop mindlessly scrolling through your newsfeed. Plus, your new hobby will keep your mind and hands preoccupied. Exactly, because what they say, idle hands is the devil's workshop, and you're going to go right to social media, which is the devil. Remember, Fire Chapel 25 is the devil. I think Justin Bieber even went on saying that it's the devil. I'm supposed to be looking up those articles, too. I'm going to see if I can find a few in a little while. I'm not going to read them all to you. I'm just going to tell them who said it. And if you want to go look into it, you can. Spend more time with your loved ones. Instead of keeping up to date with your friends and family members' lives through social media on the screen, spend time with them in the real world and reconnect with them. Make new memories and keep them personal to you. You don't need to document everything you do with your selfies. 5. Make it a treat. Look at social media as a treat. You may not buy an artisanal coffee every day or get your nails done every week, but you may reward yourself with these kinds of small treats when you feel like you deserve it. So think of social media in the same way. Only allow yourself screen time when you've achieved something or if you've done something productive first. This way you might change the way you think about social media. Meet people in real life. That's what I'm saying. I'm tired of talking to a lot of people behind the scenes. People are busy, I get it, and stuff like that. But, a lot of things get lost in translation with text messaging. It's a lot that should, and phone conversations, I guess you could call people, but everybody's schedules are different. Obviously, texting is a way more faster way, or some kind of social media messenger is a way faster way to get in touch with somebody, but you just lose so much in that. Like, meeting people in real life or hanging out with people in real life is like, you just get more of a connection. And, but people also are so busy. I'm going to do a thing on that, too. So, some people don't have the time. But when you meet people in real life, it says there's so many ways that you can meet people in real life. You can join a club, attend a talk, organize a get-together where your friends bring a friend, or embark on a singles night. Whatever activity you choose, you'll be making connections with new people in reality, which totally beats stalking your ex on Facebook. Oh, my gosh. Yes. Obsessing over celebs' Instagram feeds or trying to make the perfect workout selfie, which to me is just like, child, I ain't got time to be stalking no ex. Like, first of all, you're an ex for a reason. Bye. You know what I'm saying? Like, deuces. Shoot. Don't get me started with that or obsessing over. Yeah, I mean, like, I'll check over there, but I ain't really, like, staying over there. But I'll check. Like, I love JNJ. I love her. I check, though. But I don't just stay on her feeds and just be, like, obsessing all day long. I do have things to do, and also it's not healthy. 7, go cold turkey. If you can't cold turkey anything, you a punk. I'm going to tell you that right now. You better learn how to try to cold turkey something in your life, because I cold turkey a lot of things. That's how I learned to be tough. Tougher than I sound and tougher than I look. But it's always good to play dumber than your mark, and I love doing that, too. So it says, depending on how bad things have gotten, it may be time to go cold turkey. If you're spending more time on social media than you have interacting with people in real life, give yourself a reality check by having a holiday from social media. By having a holiday from social media, right? Decide how long it's going to be. Inform your friends. I wouldn't even tell them how long you will be away and how they can reach you. If they don't know how to reach you off of social media, that's just like, come on. If they need you in person. And delete your apps. If you normally spend a minimum of 2 hours on social media per day, you will have an extra 14 hours per week, which you're totally free to do whatever you want to do. You can even set up your own small business, or get a part-time job with all your newly freed up time. The world is literally your oyster, so don't get trapped in the virtual world. Get out from behind the screen and enjoy life's pleasures. Okay, and I agree with that. And there's some people who, like, guess what? they are enjoying life. So they're not hiding behind the screen. They do get out. But at the same time, while they're out, they're still on social media. So it's like, you know, you got to be able to go out and be able to put your phone down too while you're out. On top of that, if you're in NYC and you're sitting on these subways, somebody might steal your phone. But yeah, I just wanted to share that. And we're going to take a break and be back. Hey y'all, we're back from our break. Back at Chapel's Corner. This is your host, Fire Chapel. We're back with the article, "I'm Addicted to Social Media and It's Ruining My Life," by Krista Hardy on bold.com. All right, Krista starts off by saying, "I have a problem. I'm completely consumed by the urge to check all the social media platforms I occupy pretty much every minute of the day, and it's destroying my entire existence. You probably think I'm exaggerating. We all go on social media all the time, right? Well, I do it way, way too much. Here's why it's such a bad habit. I need to correct ASAP." And she gives us 10 reasons. 1, I do it without thinking. It's the same rotation every time. I hit up Instagram first to check out my likes, then maybe I'll scan through the celebs feed, then 10 minutes will go by before I notice that I'm on some stranger's vacation photos from a year ago and wondering if they're still dating that other person that I also don't know. My next stop is Twitter. I scroll through rage-filled political tweets to start my morning, see if any new trolls need to be blocked, and then I'm on to Facebook. I share a few news stories there, some killer feminists or Game of Thrones memes, and then I'm done. This is all right when I wake up, by the way, and I do it for at least 50 times throughout the day without even realizing how long I spend scrolling. That's a lot of time wasted that I'll never get back. 2, I'm distracted as fuck. When I'm constantly scrolling, I'm not working. I should be working during my work days and not checking social media. On the weekends, I should be sleeping or eating and doing literally anything other than looking at my phone. And even when I can cut my time on social media down to a few minutes, it's the FOMO that keeps my mind occupied and has me coming back again and again. 3, life is not filtered. I'm an adult and I understand the visual difference between a Photoshopped image and seeing life without filters. But when I'm constantly seeing those curated versions of people's lives, subconsciously I'm comparing it to how my own looks, and I don't want my life to be filtered. I like the mess, the imperfections, and the less pleasant moments because that's what life really looks like. 4, it makes me want to buy everything. I'll never tire of thumbing through the feeds of my favorite women and seeing what they're wearing, reading or applying to their skin. It makes me want to spend money like a baller though. And guys, I'm not a baller. I shouldn't be tempted to shop this often for things I don't even need. 5, I rely on social media for news. I have all my feeds prominently featured content from people and sites I value the most, along with the ability to connect with friends and family. This was supposed to be the convenient way of having everything mixed together. It's not convenient at all, though, because this is where I go for news. Then I inevitably want to comment on the news, which leads me to a discussion with someone about said news, and then it becomes a whole thing. I really need to go back to getting my news directly from the source and not in a feed. 6, it makes my anxiety worse. I have zero shame when talking about my anxiety. I take medication for it, and I've become very familiar with my triggers in order to do my best to stay balanced. Social media makes it worse, though. It's a lot chattier, and a lot of hatred, a lot of BS and fakeness that I don't need in my life anyway. Why am I doing this to myself? 7, I daydream about going off the grid constantly. People who don't spend much time on social media seem to be happy and free, and I'm jealous of every single one of them. She underlines, "I'm jealous of every single one of them." When I complete a social media rotation, I gaze out the window and picture myself in a cabin in the woods with no Wi-Fi, having the best time of my life. 8, I don't have time to argue with this many idiots. There are fantastic, brilliant, beautiful humans on social media that I'm eternally grateful to have met. But for the most part, social media is overrun with ignorant jerks. I'm always pulled into conversations with them because I know I can point out how wrong they are. And it never matters. They don't care about being right. Their sole purpose is to waste my time. and for some reason, I let them. 9. I could be reading instead. My favorite pastime, sorry to get off track, but speaking of, I'll be doing a short podcast on summer reading lists. Summer's coming officially. I don't know if today's the first day or tomorrow. I don't know. But again, today's the 20th, and right now it's 3:46 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, aka NYC time. Obama just dropped his summer reading list, which I was like, okay, Obama, because I do mine. And I'll be letting you, sharing what I'll be reading this summer, what I'm challenging myself to get through every single book page by page, and I'm trying to make it a very good extensive list, so I'll be sharing mine, and then also just trying to encourage others to maybe do the same, even if it's just one book. She says, I could be reading instead. If I had a nickel for every book on my bookshelf that I haven't read yet, I'd be able to buy all the clothes and skincare in my Amazon cart. Reading tweets is not the same as getting lost in the pages of a book. Say that again. And if I'm going to see the first female president, I should be reading way more books while I wait for her to save us all. 10, and the last one. If it doesn't make me love me more, then what am I even doing? I'm a big fan of me. Yay! High five, girl, so am I. But it's taken me 3 decades to get to this place of self-confidence and self-love. I agree, it took a long time. So when I don't feel any better about myself after mindlessly scrolling through my feeds, what the fuck am I doing? That's what she says. My time should be spent on things that make me prouder, stronger, happier, and smarter. That I totally agree with that. High five. I'm high-fiving the heck out of this screen. Hey, girl. I'm going to comment and like and whatever her thingy after this. So she says, my time should be spent on things that make me feel prouder, stronger, happier, and smarter. I'm all about knowledge, okay? And increasing. So anything that doesn't make me feel that way should be nixed, and I agree with her totally. So I like this because it was a point of view for somebody who's honest about it. I think if we listen to and be honest with ourselves, out of the 10 things that she just listed here, in the ways that she feels is ruining her lives, and for honest, there's a few of them that I don't have a personal one now. But even when I go through just do little business things and just put the posts up or something, I always do get caught up in what she says, and I catch myself looking at a stranger's picture like she said from over a year ago, wondering if he's still with the other stranger. I have no idea what's going on, the other things that it just makes you doing, the way you just lose all this time. I don't have as many social media platforms as she does, but I can only imagine the people who's going outside and they got to do the stories, like I was mentioning before. They just always constantly, it's dedicating. You got to dedicate a lot of time to that kind of stuff, but also you get lost in the sauce. Now, I had tried to record this part of that segment a few minutes ago, and then a call came in, and I have no idea who it was. Some unknown, random, one of those foreign numbers you don't even know. It's not in my contact list, buddy. I screened the heck out of it. But you messed up my little segment. I had to do it all over. Got distracted. Because I was like, when you're like really all in it, into it and stuff. But, you should think about social media. How many times have you been out with people? I said it in the first part of this episode. And they're just like not paying attention. They don't know how to put it down. And also, I know social media is definitely ruining relationships. I'm going to see if I can come pull up article on that. Shoot, social media is definitely ruining relationships. There's a lot of things I don't like about it. I just don't feel like you have any privacy anymore. In the way that people could just share your pictures without you even knowing it, screenshot it and just send it to somebody else, I don't really know how much privacy you have. It gets to make it private, but then you got to make sure you can trust anybody. The few times that I have gone back on Facebook, I've seen people have like 2,000 and all these people is following them, which I don't know how it's possible to keep a steady friendship, coworker, whatever the heck you got going on with all these people through social media. But then like I go on their pages and out of 2,000, whatever, it's only really 17 that's following them. What do you got all these people just on your page for? Okay, so it's 7 ways social media is ruining relationships. Okay, oh, this one is time. Let's do time. I like to kind of pick out the, they're all decent people are credible, but we'll do time because people respect Time Magazine. So, Kim Stalls, how social media is ruining our relationships. Okay. Our obsession with our smartphones has not only changed the way we spend time, but the way we feel and think. In her first book, Unfriending My Ex and Other Things I'll Never Do, Kim Stalls, the former contestant on America's Next Top Model, who now works on Wall Street, talked to Time about how social media has sharpened her generation, has shaped her generation, digital breakups, people who check their phone during sex, wow, and what it's like to Google yourself when you're an ex on reality show. Okay, so let me see if I could just... Ooh. Okay, I'm just looking through to see what it could have been. Getting back to this idea of addiction, you took an informal survey of your friends and found that 10% of them had checked their phone during sex at some point. And it's really much like an interview, I think. I'm not reading this interview. But yeah, she wrote an article. If y'all want to read it, us on time. Let me see if I can find another one. I am not reading the interview. Okay. Yeah, okay. I'm just going to pull up this one. Does social media ruin relationships? It absolutely does. Don't let nobody go and your girlfriend is or your boyfriend who's, you know, kind of just sees people keep liking under your pictures with little heart emoji eyes and stuff like that and little kissy faces and all these little flirting comments. And don't let them accidentally, while you're sleeping, go into your DM and see something they ain't supposed to see. I can only imagine what happens next, or the exes, or you know how that is. There's just too much that goes on with social media. Okay. Now I'm going to read this article. Six ways social media can ruin a romantic relationship. Okay, by Aria Gidmer. Okay. You've taken the big leap and proved your commitment to that special someone in your life. You've updated your Facebook status to in a relationship, and your profile photo has been replaced with a sweet couple's photo of the two of you. Now you wake up together each morning and spend time cuddling in bed, scrolling through your news feeds. Social media rules you must follow when going through, that's a link to something else. While it is inevitably tempting to integrate your brand new love into your daily post, it's a big deal to share your relationship details on social media. There's nothing wrong with wanting to share your special moments of your life together, but you really need to ask yourself why you are doing so. Maybe you want to make your sweetie feel secure. Maybe you want to make sure others know you're taken and happy. And perhaps you get a thrill seeing how many likes your joint posts can get. It makes you both feel like the world supports your love. And when people see you being connected, engaged, and completely together, it seems to validate that all those feelings are real. So, it says, the development of a relationship and the pivotal moments that build and solidify love aren't meant for the public eye. I agree with that. And this is why a lot of relationships are suffering now. Romantic relationships are unique and special specifically because they are so intimate. When you post your love, compliments, and praise for each other on social media rather than sharing it directly with your partner, you run the risk of strengthening the world's awareness while weakening the impact you would have on the one person it was truly meant for. The fact is this, social media is definitely ruining relationships. Okay, so we asked two of our highly esteemed Your Tango experts to tell the worst mistakes happy couples make on social media. Here are their top six answers. One, assuming an I love you plastered on social media has the same impact as saying it directly in person. According to the Dating Divas 2016 survey of hundreds of men and women, the number one thing they both wish their spouse knew was that they love them. So do you really believe that an I love you will get the message across to your beloved as well as holding your honey close, gazing into their eyes and saying I love you? Yeah, me either. So don't let the pixels do the talking. That's true. Using Facebook as a relationship capital. Talk to one another when you're out of the public eye. Stop using Facebook as relationship capital to prove to others or communicate to others you have a successful relationship. That's what I think too. I mean, I think the people that post stuff like that, they more or less feel like that. It's like, are you trying to convince us or yourselves? I don't know. You know, like I said, my stuff is private. I'm a very private person. So, you know, good luck trying to, you know. The whole world doesn't need to witness your relationship dynamic regardless of how good it is. this a quick way to turn your dialogue into performance, which robs your connection of true authenticity. It also takes something that's sacred to two of you, your dialogue, and putting it out there for scrutiny. Word. You know, because when people, you put people in your stuff, you know, I kind of, all right, three. What matters more to you, having your spouse tell you that you're amazing or having your spouse tell everyone how great you are? A personal conversation will always have more positive influence. Now, here's my thing. Like, if it's like Mother's Day or Father's Day or if your anniversary or if it's just for the other's birthday, of course you should, you know, maybe put something up if you like to put something, you know, loving on there. I don't see anything wrong with that, but I just mean the constant, you know, just letting people know your business and what you're doing. No, I don't think so, especially because, like I said, people have... They're just creeping on your, lurking on your page. And then, you know, you got people on there that you think you can trust, but they're mutual friends of people that know people that you know. And then next thing you know, they're screenshotting and again, sharing pictures. And then it's not so private, personal. And then next thing you know, the BS starts, you know. Using social media to have private discussions. Sometimes it's easier to type a quick note to your spouse via Facebook instead of sending them an email, text, or calling them. But sometimes it's really easy to accidentally post your note to the general public instead of just to your sweetie. Before you post anything meant for just your partner eyes, just double check that they'll be the only ones to see it. And six, the biggest mistake is also believing Facebook actually means anything. You know, it's BS. I don't even think I need to go into that to explain it. So, I don't know. I don't know what I should do next to close out. I think I'm just going to maybe cheat and see if I can find some ways to how to help you. Everybody just not get addicted. Put the phones down. So, yeah, I'm going to find an article to help everybody just put the phone down. This is a good time during the summer, though. If you're going to go, like, to the beach, you're going to travel, whatever, get a book. Get a, you know, get your Nook out. Get a Nook, though. Don't you know, get the thing in your phone where you got that e-reader kind of thing or iBooks or whatever it is that you have going on your phone to read the book, because while you're reading it, unless you done silence all the calls and things like that to have a moment of time to yourself with, you know, some headphones in, some really nice music, maybe some glass of wine or something, then, you know, you're really kind of defeating the purpose of the whole relaxation, put down the phone and leave social media alone thing. All right, we're going to take a break and be right back. Chapel's Corner. All right, y'all, I'm back to close. I think I pretty much said a mouthful in the last segment, though, and I don't want to make it too long. But it says, I just wanted to bring back some celebrities who don't let their children watch TV. You got to wonder why. You know, when we were younger, it was school nights and stuff like that, but they know what's going on. They're not there. They know what's going on because they're part of the ones that get paid to help to brainwash us in a similar way. But like I said before, it's on a higher, more... This is a different league. This is a different level of brainwashing up there. But down here, we got our little minuscule, mediocre level one brainwashing through social media where people just filter their lives and again, they sell it. But Felicity Huffman, she don't let her children watch no TV. William H. Macy, if you don't know who he is, he plays Frank Gallagher on that show Shameless. Shameless on Netflix. Okay, shout out to the Gallagher family. Madonna, she says TV is trash. My kids don't watch TV. Okay, and she was quoted on saying that on the Larry King show live in 1999. They got that on YouTube if you want to go see that. All right, Helen Hunt, her kid didn't even know who Nemo was. How many of us can say that? And she said that on a David Letterman show. Let's see, who this? Hugh Jackman. While not television is not completely absent from the lives of his children, it's certainly limited to weekends. And not just the TV, but the internet as well. So, you know, they limited it. I don't know. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, these kids could get. Megan Fox. Yeah, I remember her from Transformers. The mother of two might allow an occasional movie here and there, but it says no TV for her kids. Okay, and we're gonna go back up, and I can find you a whole other list. What do you the head of the Satanic Church? I forgot his name. Somebody LaVey, Anton LaVey, or somebody like that. He don't let his children watch no daggone TV. And he the church. He the head of the church for the devil. Now you know that don't make no sense. Shoot. Ooh. Megan Fox, I don't let my children, the children who never watch TV. Oh, look, it just said, I just found one from the dailymail.co from the UK. The Queen Mother and Meghan, they don't let the little babies in them watch TV. It says the children who never watch TV and why not having a screen in the household has become the latest status symbol for pushing middle-class parents. All right, now you can go say all these things about, but, you know, they're taking it out. And I don't blame them. It's nothing but trash on there. All right, it says nothing but brainwashing and a bunch of schemes. I mean, even the people that you see on the screen, the actors themselves, they're acting. That's not even who they really are. So they're portraying somebody else. And then you idolize and mimic and I do it too. But I'm reprogramming myself. The royal children, they ain't watch. I mean, you got all that money, you can't watch TV. But, you know, it's not even, I don't feel bad for them. It's just that they know something that we don't, something that I'm trying to say. And then they have celebrities who don't watch TV or listen to radio or anything else like that either. Movie stars who don't watch TV. So, you gotta think about now. You can say social media maybe doesn't connect to the TV, but it does, because there's a lot of apps that you have that you can connect to your TV and just start streaming it from there. The Dugars don't let their kids watch regular TV. Like I said, there's a long list. You could go and watch a whole YouTube video on it, and you'll actually catch them saying it with their own mouth. And, that's it. Oh, no. Now I'm finding an article that says three reasons why you should never let your kids watch Sesame Street. And we'll talk about those things in a little later sometime during the livelihood of this podcast. But I just want to thank everybody for listening, and I want to let everybody know, once again, if you want to reach out to me, you can email me at firechapelforpresident@petlover.com. Everything is spelled out exactly as it sounds. You can also reach me on IG. Look at that. That's how you know I don't mess with the social media. IG at firechapel. Twitter at firechapel. Also, blog post is firechapel.wordpress.com if you want to read some things that might be there. And we are now available on 8 platforms. I wrote them down. I'm really excited about that. So, and every day I check, the numbers are going up and up. So I'm really excited. And I want to thank everyone once again, those who are supporting me. Maybe you haven't listened to all the episodes. That's okay. But if you're coming back, you give me another chance to thank you humbly from the bottom of my heart. So we're on Apple Podcasts. And I'm just letting people know, just in case you're listening on one platform, but maybe you listen to podcasts on another platform, maybe you want to have all your podcasts over there. I'm just letting you know all the other places that you may be able to go and listen. If you at your choice. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. Yay, I'm happy to be there finally. Breaker, CastBox, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Radio Public. And then, of course, I'm going to still do the live thing. Now, I lost my USB sound card. I have another one. It's really weird. But we're going to get to that. And then that's just blogtalkradio.com/firechapel. And, to treat myself for the 1 month anniversary of the show. I don't know if anybody heard that episode. It was just really short. It was 8 minutes. I recently purchased me a gold microphone pendant. Chain, so pretty, and I put it on every day now. But I got two chains. I put two chains on every day now. The second chain, this one a long chain. This one be hanging. It be swinging when I walk. It's cool though. It just keeps me motivated and inspired. I still don't know what I'm doing, but I'm determined to keep going. I'm never gonna give up. I'm gonna practice. I'm gonna perfect this podcast thing. Who knows what's coming? You know, maybe great things come, maybe not. I'm just out here trying to help people, even if it's just myself. And I guess have a good time or whatever. But thank you for listening. I'll see you all next time.